Amen. 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 Let's go to John 3. But he said, I have to get back to basics. Okay. See, just because you've had basic training doesn't mean you need to go back. You don't have to go back. Right. Let's read John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. How many of us are believing for bigger and better things? Okay. Well, got a couple of questions to ask. How are we going to get there? You know. And what are we doing right now? One of the first things that I learned from Pastor Clinton was when he said, you may be believing to give $1,000, but if you're not giving the $1 on $100, you'll never get to the $1,000. Okay. Why? Because tithing is a basic. It's a basic. So if we want bigger and better things, we need to take a close examination as to what we're doing right now. And are we doing all of the basic things we should be doing? See, we love watching trick plays. We love it. We love seeing end arounds and halfback options. And you know, I used to love just a simple, in basketball, just a simple out of bounds play was one of my favorites, because if you ran the basic pattern correctly, there were so many options. So many options. And it was funny because if we needed a basket, sometimes we would just call the out of bounds play because it worked 99% of the time, even though people knew it was coming. Because if you run it correctly with all of the options that are involved, you score. But you have to know it, and you have to keep working it and working it and working it. So if we want bigger and better, which I know we all do, we have to find out if we're first fulfilling the basic requirements, because nothing starts without the basics. The reason I'm kind of hesitating is because I was in the habit of saying basic fundamentals. When I looked it up, I found out that basic and fundamental, they're interchangeable. Okay. So if I just slip up and say basic fundamentals, you'll understand. Because for 60 years, I've been saying basic fundamentals. All right. Well, not 60, maybe 55. Okay. All right. But according to the dictionary, one of the definitions is basic is something that is fundamental, an essential ingredient, principle, or procedure. So when we fail to do the basics, we're failing to do something that is essential. Turn to someone and say, that's not good. How many cooks do we have in here? All right, in all your recipes, there is a basic ingredient, okay, that you have to start with. And if you don't have it, it doesn't matter what you do after that, you're not going to get the outcome you desired. Not because you can't cook, not because it doesn't work, but because we forgot about the basics. We forgot about it. For example, what does it say in Joshua 1:8? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein. How long? Why? That you may observe to do according to, doesn't say some, says according to all. And what happens because of that? You will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. And you look in the mirror and you don't see yourself making your way prosperous, and you don't see yourself having good success, you need to go back to the basics and find out, am I meditating in the word day and night, observing to do all? That was an early lesson I learned from Pastor Clinton. because I was struggling with just doing the daily Bible readings according to the reading guide. And so one year I said, I'm just going to read it. My purpose in reading it was to get through the guide. I didn't realize it at that time, but that's why I was doing it. And I ran up to Pastor Clinton. This was probably in April. And I had kept every single day. I was so proud of me. Okay. And I ran up. I said, Pastor Clinton, guess what? What? I said, I've been doing a daily Bible reading every day since January 1st. He said, Gregory, if you're doing the reading, just for doing the reading, and all that is a mental exercise. Purpose of reading the Bible is to do what it says. I'm like, oh, man. But he was right. What good is it to read it and not take it in and then do what it says? All I'm doing is a mental exercise. I might as well read a novel or something for all the good it would do to me. But the Bible says, bring ye some of the tithes into the store. Oh, beg your pardon? It says what? All the tithe into the storehouse. Why? There'll be meat in your house, right? What else? What did God say he'd do? Open up the windows of heaven and... See, we're running around with these big collection barrels waiting for God to pour out a blessing and wondering why it's not coming. We need to check ourselves. Are we bringing all the tithe into the storehouse? And here's a qualifier. All the time. See, are we bringing all the tithe some of the time? And are we putting it in the right storehouse? You know, all of those things, they're very, very basic. But if we want what God says, we have to take them in. And there's a term that we use sometimes. How many of you have done something so much it's like second nature? Right? Remember that term? Well, see, God doesn't want us like that. He wants us to be so sound in our spiritual basics that it's first nature. That the first thing we think, the first thing we do is exactly what he said. And in line with his word, period. Not as an afterthought, but as the first thought. But that's why you keep practicing and rehearsing basics, basics, basics. That's why there's some subjects you can't teach enough. There's no such thing as too much teaching on faith, because that's very basic. Let me share something with you. I hadn't thought about this scripture in that light. But see, when something is basic, not only do you do it all the time, but it's the way you think. It becomes a part of you. Like Pastor Ed and I, we have schedules. We know when we're scheduled to teach. And there's some basic things that we do because we know that we're scheduled to teach. Period. And other things come up, it's like, that's the way it is. God scheduled me to do this on this day. Yes, I'd like to do that, but Dad said, this is what you're assigned this day. So for me, that's basic. I have to do it. I can't. Now, we have a lot of people around here that can teach. And yet we could decide to let someone teach and go do something else that we might want to do. But that's not what God said. And if we do that, we're moving away from the basic responsibility that we have as pastors. And we have to take that seriously. So that means we have to be, how many of you ever heard me say we have to do what God says, when God says, and where God says? You know, you have to be where you're supposed to be. There's such a safety and security in being where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there. But in 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel 11, this is the account of David and Bathsheba. We're all familiar. But in verse 11 said, it happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle. Where do kings go in the spring? Out to battle. Didn't say to say when most kings go. They say when sometimes kings go. It said in the spring, kings go to battle. Doesn't make sense to me. It means every year I got to be mad at somebody. You know, but in the spring, they went to battle. But David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. Where should David have been? And at that time, was there a battle going on in Jerusalem? So he shouldn't have been there. And he probably didn't think anything of it. I'm sure that Joab was more than capable. As it says in the scriptures, I mean, some say he just slaughtered the people. So it wasn't a matter of Joab's ability to lead, but David was supposed to be in battle. But because he didn't go, he found himself on the rooftop. And verse 2 says, then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed, walked on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful to behold. If he's where he's supposed to be, folks, guess what he doesn't see? The woman bathing. And he probably didn't think anything of it, but when you get away from the basics, you don't know how that can negatively affect your life. He didn't know, because I'm sure if he didn't, he wouldn't have been there. But because he didn't go when he was supposed to go, he finds himself looking and lusting after another man's wife. And you know the account of, you know, sending for her and impregnating her and killing her, having her husband killed and all that. Not because he was a mean, vicious guy. He got away from the basics and found himself in a position that he wasn't designed to handle. That's why God has us doing certain things at certain times. I remember when my wife and I were going to Orlando, and God said, don't fly, drive. I'm like, drive where? He said, drive to Orlando. I'm like, God, do you know how far that is? He didn't answer, you know. And so, you know, then we start thinking, we allow our minds to start moving and said, well, maybe something's going to happen to the airport or whatever. And God, we drove, had a great time, and guess what happened along the way? Nothing. And I was telling that to one of our children. I don't remember which one. And they were like, but didn't you miss God because nothing happened? I said, did you ever stop to think that was the plan? For nothing to happen. And we just had a great time just traveling and fellowshipping and stopping. You can't do that on a plane. You can't say, no, stop. I want to go to south of the border. No. You try and do that, you may find yourself south of the border. Okay, running from the federal police. Okay. But David didn't stick with the basics. And one problem is that too many of us think that we're in a position where we know, so we can make certain choices that may be contrary to our basic training. Maybe contrary to the basics that God has set up. And as I said earlier, you never know when forgetting about or ignoring the basics is going to come back to haunt you. And one of the more dangerous things we can do is get to the place where we think we know it. That we know exactly what we're doing and exactly how to do it. The late John Wooden, a great basketball coach, UCLA, won several championships. I mean, all-star, all-city, all-county, all-American players. By all-American, I'm not talking about ethnic. That's just a category they give great players. They say they're all-Americans. And they would want to come to UCLA and be a part of his program and be coached by him. So these guys have been playing basketball most of their lives. And when you play, in order to play basketball, what do you have to wear? You have to wear shorts. You have to wear sneakers. And socks. Now, these are players. By the time they get to college, they're probably 18, 19, hopefully. Not too much older than that, you know. And every single year that John Wooden coached, the first 2 days of practice, basketball practice, was spent teaching them how to put on their socks and sneakers. These all-star, all-city, high-caliber players who know how to play basketball. But he's teaching them, this is the way you put on your socks, put on your socks. I mean, and he was very much, you put it on, so you pull it tight, pull them up tightly. Move your finger around your little toe. Make sure there are no wrinkles. Then pull it up tightly again. You know why? He said you play basketball on a hardwood floor. You have to move, you have to stop, you have to change directions. And if you have wrinkles in your socks, you get blisters. And if you get blisters, you have to come out of the game. You get blisters on your feet, you can no longer play. And he said jokingly, he said, and if you are an impact player, we lose games. And if we lose enough games, I'm out of a job. That's what he said. So he taught them how to put on not only their socks, but also their sneakers. Because he said too many times when you're playing, if your sneakers are not laced properly, you're trying to run down the floor and they fall off. Or if the laces are loose, someone steps on it, you trip and fall. You trip and fall, you're 6'7", 230 pounds, you hurt yourself, okay? If you're 5'7", 130 pounds, you can hurt yourself. And you come out of the game. And you're no longer in the lineup. So he said, no, you grab them by each lace, by the eyelets, and pull up each one separately. Tight as you can. Then you tie it, and then you do a double knot. Because you don't want your sneakers to become unlaced during a game. Every single year, he taught that first 2 days of practice to his All-American players. And they didn't like it, but they did it. He ain't have any injuries. I mean, today, with all of the technology that's available, one of the more common injuries among NBA players, sprained ankles. They have all these high-tech sneakers. We played in Converse Chuck Taylors, canvas ones. Never twisted my ankle. Okay, I mean, that was just very, very basic, very, very essential thing he taught them to do. Put on your socks and your sneakers properly. And if you wanted to stay in the game, or if you wanted to make sure you never had to come out of the game, that's what you did. Very, very basics. Look at Acts 28. Again, these aren't new accounts, just looking at them in a different way. It says, when Paul is after they were shipwrecked and trying to warm themselves, and they built a fire. It says, when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Now, you need to understand something. Usually, a viper is a category of snake, and snakes will usually strike and withdraw. But vipers, some species of vipers, will strike and hold on and keep pumping venom, because vipers have long hollow teeth and they'll just latch right on. And they have a very potent toxin where if enough of it gets in your body, you're gone in minutes. And during those days, they didn't have anti-venom. They didn't have any serums developed yet. But this viper came out of the fire, out of the heat, and fastened on Paul's hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he, Paul, shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Paul, who should have been in spasms, foam coming out of his mouth, looking around at the last few moments of his life, just without hesitation. Bible doesn't say he screamed and shouted. He didn't run around and say, "Somebody suck this blood out of my hand." He just shook it off into the fire. Like, no big deal. Well, how could he do that? He had some basics in place. In Acts 9, if you go follow his life, in Acts 9 he received Jesus Christ. Was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was taught by the disciples. And he immediately, after he was taught, he immediately began preaching Christ. So he had a habit of immediately saying what he heard, doing what he was taught to do. In Acts 13, the Holy Ghost sent him out. And because he was a Christian before he was anything else, anything that he saw that wasn't godly, he addressed. Just followed all through, whether it got him in trouble or not. He didn't care. And when you continue reading, you'll find out that Paul, whatever he encountered, his faith was strong. Then we get to Acts 27. Amplified Bible. Verse 21. Then as they had eaten nothing for a long time, Paul came forward in their midst and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and should not have put to sea from Crete and brought on this disaster and harm and misery and loss. But even now I beg you to be in good spirits and take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, only of the ship." Now, how could he say that? Well, verse 23. "For this very night there stood by my side an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve and worship." So Paul knew who he was and whose he was. It was done. Verse 24. And he said, "Don't be frightened." This is the angel said. "Don't be frightened, Paul. It is necessary for you to stand before Caesar." The angel of God said to Paul, "It's necessary for you, Paul, to stand before Caesar." Caesar wasn't on that ship. Caesar wasn't on that island. But God said Paul had to stand before him. Paul, and so he said, so keep your, "And behold, God has given you all those who are sailing with you." Verse 25, "So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith." That's what Paul said. "Keep up your courage, because I have faith." He didn't say you better develop some faith quickly. He said, "You keep your courage, I have faith." That's what he said. "I have faith, complete confidence in God that it will be exactly as it was told me." So for Paul, believing, hearing God, and believing what God said was basic. Nothing else mattered. He knew that he was supposed to stand before Caesar, right? And Caesar wasn't there. So when the angel said to him, when the angel said that to him, if Paul had a care, and the Bible doesn't say he did, but if he did, it was all gone. Why? Because God said, I must stand before Caesar. Caesar's not here. So whatever happens on this island is irrelevant. Because God's going to do what he said. Just because a venomous beast jumped out on my hand doesn't alter what God has said. And so since it doesn't alter what God said, what do? Shake it off and keep on going. But if Paul doesn't have that mindset, he's dead from the snake bite. It's just that, do you see that? He's dead from the snake bite. He said, I have faith, complete faith in God. His faith in God was as smooth as the socks on the feet of those UCLA basketball players. No wrinkles anywhere. Laces tight, nothing to trip him up. And could have, I mean, some of us will take off running if we see a snake, much less if one bites us. When LCA was in session, see, my wife believes that the early childhood classroom should be an early childhood classroom. So you have critters in the classroom. And she had annals, which is a nice name for lizards, little green lizards. See, I see someone's squirming out. She had green snakes. And one, she had ants. She had an ant farm in there. And that flipped some folks out because it came in the mail. They opened the mail and they saw ants. And they came running out of the mail room. Now the ants are inside a container. But one day one snake got out of the cage. And someone saw this green. I mean, the snake was about this long. Okay. But it was a snake. That's what I said, right? And it happened to be at the back door. I guess it was waiting for someone to come out of the office so it could say boo. You know? And I can't tell you how many people came running to her off to her learning center. Miss Cole, one of your snakes got out. You gotta get it. They're all in the rough. She's like, it's a little snake. She went and she picked it up and brought it back in the classroom, opened it and put it back in, put something heavy on top so it couldn't push it back open again. But that's our attitude about snakes. But what's one of the very, very basics that God said? I've given you dominion over every creeping thing that creeps across the earth. You have dominion. We forget. We think they have dominion. That's why I like the account of this missionary over in Africa where they were having an outdoor meeting and this lion came and people getting ready to run. He said, nope, don't anybody move. And they prayed, and lightning struck the lion, and they pulled it over and used it as a pulpit. I like that kind of stuff. Okay. But folks, faith is a basic that all of us have to have in place. Every single one of us, we have to have faith in God. See, the problem is we have faith in other things. Some have faith in pit bulls. So if you see one, you're getting out of the way. Some have faith in other things. But we're supposed to have faith in God. And if we have faith in God, then everything that God says, we take it as yea and amen, and we act on it. Why? Because God said it. And that's all the faith we need. That's all we need to know. That's why I love that song. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies, he's always on my side. So nothing formed against me can stand. He has the whole world in his hand. And I'm holding on to his promises because he is faithful. And since I know he's faithful, I should be able to have faith. And nothing should be able to make my faith come undone if I am exercising it daily. Four times the Bible says the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38. You all say, the just shall live by faith. So everything we acquire should be by faith. And here's how we get away from it. Those simple things. I go to the store. I'm going to buy some groceries. $30. I have a $100 bill in my wallet. I just pull it out and pay for it. I don't think about God. How do you want me to pay for this? I don't think going to the store, God. You know, I have these groceries, this list. Thank you for providing for them. I don't think that. You know why? I got $100. If I have $5 and a grocery $30, Father, I need 25 more. Come on, you do that thing with loaves and fishes again. Only use this money. Okay. See, that's what happened. We get caught up in stuff that we have. The Bible calls that leaning to your own understanding. All right, just in case you didn't know that. But what it does is it can erode our faith. I mean, we needed a new car because the other one was, you know, it was up there in age, not mileage, but it was at the point where different things were happening, and God said, don't invest this kind of money in this car. Go get your Edge. I'm like, okay. And then he gave me a condition. Don't put any money down. Don't pay any interest. I'm like, okay. If I don't put any money down, that's more money stays in my bank account. If I don't pay any interest, that's more money that stays in the bank account. I can do something else with it. And I went there to a dealer and I told him that. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And then he just wasn't helpful at all. And I left and I'm like, Father, he said, you didn't ask me where to go. You went to the dealer you were familiar with. So he told me where to go. And I went. I walked in and I said, I want this car in this color. I'm not paying any money down, not paying interest. Guy said, okay, that's not a problem. Wrote it up. Done. Why did it work? Because God said so. But there's another reason why it worked. I believed it. And I acted like I believed it. How did I act like I believed it? I went and did what he said. It's just that simple. God said it. That settled it. I believed it. And if I'm going to live by faith, then that's what I need to do. And I'm learning with everything that I'm doing, find out from God, okay, God, how do you want this done? How do I do this? Even if it's something I know how to do, how do I do this? It's so simple. I like the chicken sausages at Fairway because they put very little salt in them. They make them right there. And so I felt like a chicken sausage last night. But they can be bland. And I'm like, God, how do we give this thing some pizzazz or something? So popped it in a pan on a New Wave oven. And, you know, juice and stuff comes out of it. And they said, cut up some onions. Put them in the juice. So I did. I like trying new things. They had this like a sauce. It's supposed to be pepper, green and red peppers and onions and together in some kind of sauce. I said, mix that in there. And he even told me what setting for the oven and how long to do it. So just spoon it on top of the sausages. I did that and bit into it. I'm like, man, God, this is good. Now, I know how to cook, folks. But it's like, okay, God, what do we do here? Simple, real simple. That's how you build up get yourself built up to when a snake bites your hand, you just shake it off. Doing all those little things. But here's the thing, folks. If you really are trusting God and you really have faith in God, and the first thing that happens to you is a viper latches onto your hand, you'll still be able to shake it off. You'll still be able to do it. Yes, we have to develop our faith, but if you have faith as a seed of mustard, and say to the mountain, be thou removed, it'll obey you. And nothing will be impossible. So now, I'm not suggesting that we don't need to exercise our faith. I said that earlier. We have to exercise our faith. But if just because you haven't fully developed your faith yet, doesn't mean you're faithless. And it doesn't mean you can't tackle things. Yes, David had faith in God. He took out the lion and the bear. And then he went to Goliath. I don't know if no one else in the whole nation of Israel ever took out a lion and a bear. I'm just wondering, because everybody else was afraid of Goliath. I mean, even members of the mighty Israeli army could not see themselves beating Goliath. But David, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? I mean, that was his attitude. Who is he that he's going to defy the armies of God? I'll take care of it. But that needs to be our attitude, because God gave us some instructions. I'm going to tell you those in a minute. First, he said to us in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's what? How many of you want to please God? Okay, interestingly enough, that's not everybody. Okay. No, I know some of you are turning pages in the Bible. So we all want to please God. Is that a fair statement? So that means we all need to always operate in faith. We can't have any faithless moments if we want to please God. We have to operate in faith. That means you have to learn how to take risks. Which really, if you're operating in faith, it's not really a risk. Because you know God's going to do what he said. That's why the three Hebrew boys could say, look, King, we don't need to talk about this. Our God will deliver us. But you know something? Even if God wasn't going to deliver us, we're still not bowing down. Now, you don't talk to a king like Nebuchadnezzar that way and live. But they did. Why? They believed in the power of their God. And as a result of their belief, the king said, no other God can save like that. Well, that principle has not changed. When the world sees us operating in the God kind of faith, they will say, no other God can serve in that manner. And guess who they'll start serving? Our God. But if they see us operating in fear, if they see us panicking, if they see us being faithless, they're not going to believe that. Now, Jesus gave us some very basic instructions before he left. Very, very basic. I'm going to start in Mark 16, the Message Bible. I'm going to start at verse 12, because I need you to just understand how important Jesus felt faith was. It says, later he appeared, but in a different form, to two of them out walking in the countryside. They went back and told the rest, but they weren't believed either. Still later, as the 11 were eating supper, he appeared and took them to task most severely for their stubborn unbelief. Now, this is before he's about to give them a very important assignment. But first he took them to task because they were stubborn and they were not believing. They were refusing to believe those who had seen him, which means they didn't even believe what he said. Because he said he would be raised up. So if they didn't believe the people when they said they saw him, they weren't believing what he said. And it says, the Message Bible says, they took him to task most severely, that Jesus took them to task most severely for their stubborn unbelief. And right after he did that, he gave the basic command. Go into all the world. Go everywhere and announce the message of God's good news to one and all. Stop right there. I'm not going to ask for hands, but you need to ask yourself if you're doing that. We want to go to the next level. Are we doing what's basic? Are we going everywhere and announcing the message to everyone? Or are we thinking about what we allegedly can or can't say or do in public? You know, we have to ask ourselves that question. He says, whoever believes and is baptized is saved. Whoever refuses to believe is damned. Verse 17. These are, and I like the way the Message Bible says it, these are some of the signs that will accompany believers. I could say these are some of the signs that will accompany those who operate in faith. They will throw out demons in my name, not run out because of the demon. They will speak in new tongues. They will take snakes in their hands. They will drink poison and not be hurt. They will lay hands on the sick and make them well. Those are the basic things that a believer does. And we have to ask ourselves, are we doing them? Or do we have wrinkles in our socks? Doesn't, because when you have wrinkles in your socks and you turn to make a move, it doesn't feel good. And you do that enough, you get a blister. And when you have blisters on your feet, you sit down. You don't continue to move around. And you certainly don't make it, you don't stop and turn on a dime. You start moving very gingerly around. But Jesus said to us, you will lay hands on the sick and make them well. Verse 19, then the Master Jesus, after briefing them, was taken up to heaven, and he sat down beside God in the place of honor, and the disciples went everywhere, preaching the Master working right with them, validating the message with indisputable evidence. Why? Because they had the faith to go and do what they heard. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing. So if you're hearing by the word of God, then you should have faith. And if you have faith, then you're going to do what you heard. So we have to understand that. If God tells you you can do it, guess what? You can do it. So if God tells you you can do it, you should be doing it. And eliminating all of the excuses. Because we've learned, folks, when you make up your mind to start doing things God's way, if it looks like it's a solid wall, but he told you to keep walking straight, you keep walking. And before you reach that wall, something's going to happen. And all you have to do is keep moving. We'll look at the wall. You know, God will say, go over that side. And we'll look, say, there's a wall there. And we'll take 3 months trying to figure out how to get the wall down. And God is saying, go. So now we're 3 months behind. Everything that was in place, think about it. Everything that was in place, we missed. And now we have to wait till it comes around again. How many times has someone has come and gave a word of prophecy that God said he's coming around once more? Well, if he's coming around once more, that means he came and we didn't do it. But because he loves us and he's so merciful, he's going to come again. But what are we going to have to endure that was not part of his plan for us because we just didn't trust him? See, that's a very very basic. Now, I don't have time tonight because I'm in no, I mean, we're just not even scratching the surface here. But there's another basic that goes right along with faith. Please look quickly at Galatians 5. We need to walk in faith because we don't have time to wait for blisters to heal. We don't have time to wait for ankle swelling to go down because our laces came undone and we were tripped up. Galatians 5, verse 6 is reading the Amplified and the Expanded. For if we are in Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith activated and energized and expressed and working through love. See, love, the term God gave me, love is faith's engine. If there's no love, there's no faith. Because you have to have faith to love. The two go hand in hand. All right. The Expanded Bible says, when we are for in Christ, it is not important if we are circumcised or not. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision accomplishes anything. The important thing is faith, the kind of faith that works through love. And in 1 Corinthians, again, I'm in the Amplified Bible, Paul said, if I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, that reasoning, intentional spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for and in us, I'm only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. How many of you know is noisy gongs and clanging cymbals sometimes are just aggravating after a while? Right? And if I have prophetic, listen to this, because we're walking around and we want to be a prophet and we want to be all these different things, but this word tells me, if I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understand all the secret truths and mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains but have not love, God's love in me, I'm nothing. A useless nobody. Not because I don't have the gifts of the Spirit manifest in me. Not even if I have the gifts working through me. If I'm not in love, I'm useless. Useless. So we need to understand that we have to examine ourselves and make sure we have to just like they do on, usually it's Tuesday mornings, they have most of the pro teams have their team meetings if they play on Sunday. Usually give them Monday off, unless they really stunk up the place and the coach is upset with them. They'll make them coach practice on Monday. But on Tuesday, they'll sit down and they'll watch film. They'll watch film of the game. And the coach will point out the basic things they missed that caused the other team to have big plays. See, they don't really focus on what the other team did. They focused on what their response was. And again, if that end comes off the line and goes out and goes like this and watches, fine. When the guy comes at him, he takes him down. But if he goes rushing right in, never happened. If they look at that corner, but simple thing is footwork. There's basic footwork involved. How many former athletes do we have in here that have played sports? They tell you the same thing. I don't know what they tell you, Robert, with baseball. I don't know if it applies. But with football and basketball, you have this guy, somebody coming at you, and they're juking and shaking and, you know, giving you all these different moves, but they don't want you to know where you're going. But if you've been trained in fundamentals, you're not watching the ball, you're not watching the shoulders, you're not even watching the legs. You're watching his midsection. Because wherever your midsection goes, your body goes. So your leg can fake like you're going this way, and if you're watching the midsection, you'll see the midsection, no, I'm moving over here. So you move over there. And they take apart, they dissect those films, and they look for those things. And what amazes me is that even though they do that, like I said earlier, every single game that's played, folks miss. Somebody misses those basic things. If you're a cornerback, when are you supposed to turn your head and look away from the receiver? Never. That's right. Never. Yet I'm watching a game, and the cornerback, and he goes like this. And when he turns back, the receiver's on the move and is somewhere else. And next thing you know, you see a long pass guy. A guy catches it and just struts into the end zone. Why? Because he was a better ball player? No. He stuck with the fundamentals. Basic. Fake right, go left. Basic. Fake left, go right. Basic. Speak to the mountain. Basic. Whatever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it. Basic. Basic. So what should we be doing? Speaking and believing. Why? It's basic. We're believers. Basic operations of a believer. I'm unhooking. If you want to hear some more, you got to come back next Wednesday. I'm not doing this one Sunday. We're going somewhere else. But you got to come back next Wednesday. Because there's so many more where God, he just made it clear. He said, you've gotten away from basics. Basics is what causes average players to be great players. Not their skill, but whether or not they're fundamentally sound. Larry Bird, I know I'm using a lot of basketball analogies. I think most of you know them. But they used to laugh at Larry Bird. They said, he can't jump. He's slow. I mean, his shooting form is horrible. Horrible. But he was fundamentally sound. And while his form was horrible, his release was perfect. Was perfect. See, when you're fundamentally sound and you know how to box out, you don't have to jump for the rebound. Well, you don't have to jump high for it. You get the guy boxed out, it comes off, you just get it. They're behind you. Doesn't matter, they could jump three times as high as you can. But they'd be jumping over you. You know what they call that in basketball? A foul. And they get enough, nobody has ever scored any points from the bench in any sport. So we have to get, there's really no reason for a believer to have to wait for Super Saint to come through before you get what you need. Because all Super Saint is going to do is operate in the basics. I mean, that's all they do. They hear what God says, and they either say what God says to us, or they do what God says to do to us. That's all. Don't you think Father would do that for you? But you'd have to spend the time with him to get the same information. See, that's the only difference. You have to work at this thing. That's why we have to go back to Joshua 1. We got to meditate in the Word day and night, observing to do, Now, how do we do that? You read the word, and the first thing you do is say, okay, how does this apply to me? What is my current situation right now? And how does this apply? I'll read in Corinthians, okay, love takes no account of a suffered wrong. Is there anybody that's done something to me more than once? And I saw a list, well, this one did this, and this, and this. And then it's like, whoa, hold a check. Love takes no account of a suffered wrong. I just rolled off all of these names of people that have done things to me more than once. Why am I keeping account of this? Father, I repent. See, we're putting it to work. We're observing to do according to all that's written. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse. And you're looking, and you're looking, and you're seeing, this is my money. These are my bills. And now I have to tithe off of this. And that 10% will leave this much money. And I still have all of these bills. But God said, bring all the tithe into the storehouse, and there'll be meat in my house. That means I'll have provisions. And he said, if I prove him, and proving him just means I do what he says, then he's going to open the windows of heaven and pour me out. Let me get this in the envelope. I mean, that's what we have to do. That's observing to do according to all. Not, okay, all right. We'll put this in today, and then I'll catch up in 2 weeks. That's not all. See, we're not observing to do. That's leaning to our own understanding. Unless God tells you, I just want you to put this in. Then of course you give what he tells you to give. But I need to caution you, it has to be legitimate. What do I mean by that? It's what John Bevere said. Sometimes we'll ask God something and answer it before he does. Okay. God, is it okay to have this special? It's a double chocolate brownie sundae. And I've been good. I've been at the gym 3 times this week. May I have this? Thanks, God. I knew you'd say yes. So yes, I'll have one. Okay. No, we got to wait and get the right answer from our Father. And I found that when I don't get an answer, most of the time with me, it's because I already know it. And he knows that I know. So he won't say anything, and I'm like, I know. I know. Put it back in the freezer. I mean, that's just the way it is. Because you don't do that, your clothes start getting bigger and bigger. You're saying, well, isn't that a good thing? No, that means you're buying them. Because you're getting bigger and bigger. I'm going to stop. I got to abruptly stop because I'll keep going. We have to come up and receive the offering. But the last thing I'm going to say, folks, got to get back to basics. Everything that God says we are, we are. Everything that God says we can do, we can do. Simple. Amen?